You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
There's a word from God. There is a word from God. We're continuing in our series, Unexpected. This is part two, Unexpected. Everybody say Unexpected.
Unexpected.
We know how that goes when we are confronted with unexpected events that throw our life off kilter. We'll be picking up from Job, the second chapter. That's Job, the second chapter. Don't you remember being kids and when you saw Job, you pronounced it Job? I remember those days. Job, the second chapter. And if you're able, please stand in reverence to the word. Job, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Text says, "One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to the accuser, 'Where have you come from?' The accuser answered the Lord, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it.' The Lord said to the accuser," and the accuser, if you haven't known by now, is Satan, "'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason.' Then the accuser answered the Lord, 'Skin for skin. All that the man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face.' The Lord said to the accuser, 'Very well, he is in your power. Only spare his life.' So the accuser went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a potsherd with which to scrape himself and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Now, men, in 2024, don't tell your wives, husband, don't tell your wives she's foolish, or you just might be walking around in crutches.'" Hey. All right. "Shall we receive," Job says, "'shall we receive good, only good from God, and not receive evil?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Pray with me. Sovereign God, thank you. Thank you for this worship. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for allowing us to come together in your presence. Yes. Now, God, I'm trusting you with this earthen vessel you call Sean Birch. Have thine own way with me. Regardless of my physical state, I believe your word is full of power. And that word will reach all hearts and minds. So God, make us available to open up our hearts and minds. Help us, God, to remember that every day we walk and live for you, that we uphold to our integrity, that we're persistent in our integrity, that we do not give room for the enemy to accuse us and make it seem like We don't have the relationship with you that we thought we did. So God, we trust you. We need you.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the house. So I want to leave you with this subject, persistent integrity. Persistent integrity in our unexpected series, part two. The sermon title for today is Persistent Integrity. You know, Brother Rick, if I was to tag this text a different way, I would simply say, keeping it real. Keeping it real. Or, as most youth will say, keep it 100 or keep it 800. Church family, this may be a trivial story, but it goes so well with the message this morning that I will proceed in sharing this particular memory. I remember in elementary school, it was roughly about third, fourth grade, I'm pretty sure it was fourth grade, my class was preparing to take a timed math test. Do y'all remember that? Especially when it came to like the multiplication test, right? You would sit down at your desk, the teacher would give you instructions. And do you remember the teacher telling you that you have to pull out an additional sheet of paper so you can use it to cover up your answers? You remember that? Huh? Come on now. I'm not the only one that remember that. And so the teacher said that because, you know, sometimes eyes will be glazing over trying to see who they can get answers from. But needless to say, the teacher would give this instruction to make sure we use this piece of paper to cover up our test sheet. Now, this was to prevent others who were close in proximity from looking on your test. Now, the teacher would sit at the desk in the front of the room grading papers and occasionally glancing over the classroom. Now, for the most part, the teacher was trusting us to do the right thing, trusting us not to cheat, trusting us to stay quiet, trusting us not to pull any fast stuff. But we find that every so often in a testing environment, there's always some type of temptation. Now, let's be clear. God will test us. Satan will tempt you. Are you with me? God will test us. Satan will tempt you. Here's the thing. When God opens up a test, Satan will creep in to try to tempt you so you can fail the test. Are you with me? Been there before. I remember sitting down and next thing I know I hear, psst. Psst. Hey, what'd you get for? Move your paper out the way. And of course, the same pressures we had back then, it's the same pressures that students go through now, children go through now. Peer pressure. You know, peer pressure. Well, maybe I'll be cool to them if I let them see my test. Even though the teacher is trusting that you'll do the right thing. So there are times when God will test us and Satan will throw temptation our way during the test so we can act opposite of God's expectations for us. However, in times like these, the text teaches us to persist in our integrity when everyone or everything seems to be against us. What does persistent integrity look like in the face of unexpected challenges in our lives? Well, as we look at this text today, we find that, or we already know, that Job went through an unimaginable situation. And the situation that Job went through was totally unexpected to him. It came out of left field. And we remember from last week that Job was a man that God looked at as someone who was righteous, upright, and fears God and will turn away from evil. If Job saw it, he would not entertain it. He would turn away from it. Some of us be like, well,
maybe. No, Job would fully turn away from it. Job would not be tempted to ruin his relationship with God. He wouldn't ruin it for circumstances. He wouldn't ruin it for hard times. He wouldn't ruin it based off of the guidance or advice from people. He would not ruin it for anyone. So Job loses his children. How many did he have? Good job. Good job. 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. And he lost an abundance of property and wealth. And we find that Job was in great grief. We find that in the midst of his grief, he was hurting, he was going through, but with something that Job did not do, he did not turn against God, nor did he turn away from God. In fact, we learned last week that Job shows us that when we go through hard times, it may also be a signal that God trusts us to maintain our godly character while we're going through the storms of our lives. Now, I don't know if anybody is going through a storm, but I'm sure enough going through a storm. I told you last week, I'm going through it. And when I fell yesterday, I was on my back looking to the sky. And I said, God, what else? But you want to know what I didn't do? I did not curse God at all. Sometimes when it gets harder, when something else begins to pile on the already existing pain, most people will blame God quick, fast, in a hurry. God, why are you letting this happen to me? And God is sitting in God's chair saying, why not?
All right.
Why not? Because it's not God's intention for God to sit up high and look down on us and be cruel to us, but we learn that it just might be God is confident in you and me. Come on now. You know how many people are not confident in you? Confident in how you will handle things or handle yourself? And in fairness, we are flesh. But if God knows who you are, then when trouble comes our way and we can't understand why it came, just maybe we need to reflect that, wow, God trusts me enough to maintain who I am in Jesus Christ. Look, it's like, how many of you have a favorite sports team? Yeah, come on, Deb, you can raise your hand. I know you want to. I know you want to. Now me, I love the Dallas Cowboys. Win or lose. Look, we didn't ask for all that hostility now. I saw me since a Giants fan spoke up. Since a Giants fan spoke up. I saw a meme on Facebook. And, you know, the season just beginning, and it had a picture of your quarterback saying that the Giants are already out of playoff contention. I was like, wow, it's going to be a tough year. But that fits in the frame for each and every one of us. Look, like football teams that may not be projected to have a great year, we have some tough years, we have some tough times and some tough moments.
Right.
Are you going to quit on your assignment, or are you just going to still go out there and do the job? Oh, I wish I had a witness in here today.
God did not produce quitters. God produced people who will know how to lean on God when it gets rough.
Yes, yes.
I can speak to it very well and full well because when you are going through the hardest moments of your life, there is a decision to make in this test. Either I'm going to be faithful or either I'm going to turn away from God. And in the midst of your testing, much like you might be in the classroom taking a math test, here goes Satan whispering, you know you can quit on God.
Why would God do something like this to you? But no, we see that when we're faced with unexpected challenges in our lives, God expects us to maintain our integrity. So what does that look like? What does that look like in the wake of unexpected things, unexpected challenges, unexpected circumstances? Well, in the face of unexpected challenges, persistent integrity looks like trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. The text says it like this in verse 3. The Lord said to the accuser, or Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." He still persists in integrity. I'm still going to persist. "Although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Now, some of this language looks very familiar. In fact, almost identical, plus or minus one or two sentences. But we find that this is the second saga, the second episode, where the heavenly beings are before God, and here goes Satan coming among them. In Hebrew, the Satan means the accuser. I hope we realize by now that Satan is always constantly accusing the children of God being other than. We got people that do it here on earth, in our lives, on our jobs, out in the world. Folk that did believe but don't believe. We got folk that don't believe or who's atheist and will come against you and challenge your faith walk. What are you going to do? Crumble or lean on God? In the face of unexpected challenges, persistence and persistent integrity looks like trustworthiness. In other words, God is trusting us. God finds us reliable to be able to stand firm on God's word through challenging moments. God can factor in that we may have some hiccups. God is all right with you being sad or upset. But the one thing we should not do is say, "God, I'm done with you." God woke you up this morning. God started you on a brand new day. God helped you through it. In fact, I said this was the second saga. Minister Tamika, we also find that Job already went through it. How many of us have went through, we thought we went through something, right? And then you just don't expect anything else to happen until it happens. Well, this is where we are. Job went through the unimaginable and unexpected. And I can only imagine that Job was like, nothing else could happen after this. But it did. So God allows Satan to touch his body. And now this brother has sores all over his body. While still sitting on a pile of ash. While he's still mourning the death of his children. While he's suffering the loss of property. And now he has to worry about his physical health. When I was going through this sermon and putting it together and reflecting over this series over the past month, I'm like, wow, God. I'm seeing so many similarities between Job and I. But I think that's what God wants us to see too, that we all see ourselves in Job. We all, you have sat on your ashes as well. We all have been hurt by tragedy. We all have continued to suffer loss. We all continue to cry in our pillow. We all are continuing to wonder, when will the suffering end?
But at the same time, when life keeps on lifing and piling on time after time again, we're reminded by Job that I can still be an upright person.
Yes, yes.
I can still fear God. In other words, fear. I can still respect the Lord my God. See, this is what makes us different. Children of God, up from other people. Because when it gets rough, I know I'm going to feel the impact of that roughness, but I will never waver from God or turn away from God because it gets hard. And it gets hard, and it's going to get hard. God didn't promise an easy life. God didn't say that it was going to be always going to be sunshine and cloudless days. Sometimes there are days where there's gray clouds. And the rain does pour, and the thunder and lightning crack and causes disturbances. But God expects us to show trustworthiness, show that we are reliable, show that regardless of what happens, that we will not make God a liar, but we will make the devil a liar. Did you catch it? God trusts us so much that God knows that my child won't make me a liar, but they'll make the devil a liar. How many times have the devil accused you of something, and then when you passed your test, you came out your mouth and said, the devil is a liar. And you ought to say that loudly and let the devil know that you didn't get me this time. Job also shares with us that, Job's story also shares with us that although I might go through it one time, that God may test me one time, the test can be continuous. God can test us as many times as God wants. Once again, God wasn't being mean, but here goes Satan, popping out the woodworks again. Oh, I'm coming to and fro. It's not like Satan said, give me your servant Job. In fact, God said, have you considered my servant Job? How many of you have always wondered, God, why am I going through this? And here's the thing. Job never had insight into God and Satan's conversation about him. Listen, we don't know why, because we were not privy to that conversation. I remember a professor said something that struck me to my core in seminary, and I never thought about it like this. Professor said, I quote, said that Satan, God and Satan, is almost as if God and Satan had a cosmic bet. Think about it. You mean to tell me, if we work with this idea, you mean to tell me, God, that this is just a wager? I'm going through this simply because it's a bet? But then you don't think about it too badly when you understand that God makes a wager and puts up a bet that he can't lose. I don't even got my glasses on, but I can see some folk. I can see some folk. I can hear you. Think about it. Deacon Morgan, God is like, I'm putting my chips on Deacon Morgan because I can trust that even though it might get hard, I can trust that you'll depend on me.
All right.
That's what it's all about. God knows that you ultimately, even though you might not be happy, you will cry, you are going to be sad, you will be upset. God knows at the end of the day that you know how to lean on God.
Yes.
Oh, I wish somebody would actually take a moment to praise God in here this morning. Because when it went bad, somehow you still made it through.
Thank you, Lord.
That God gave you enough. That even in the background of your pain, the backdrop of your pain, God is still there. God never left you. God will never leave nor forsake you. God only trusts that you trust him in the midst of your storm.
So I can say this, if I can lose people unexpectedly,
And if I can suffer injury to my physical body, like I said, when I'm reading Job, I'm reading Sean. If I can suffer all the losses I did and still look to the hills from which cometh my help, there's no excuse for anyone else. You can feel it, and it's okay to feel it. Just don't turn on God. Because God has done so much for us and has gotten us through so many things that the last thing we need to do is turn on God when God knows how to counter life.
Yes, yes.
He trusts you. Somebody just pat yourself on the shoulder. He trusts me. He trusts me. If that provides you any sense of comfort at all, just know that God trusts you. So we see that in the midst of this predicament and Job's plight, his body is hurting. And Satan is like, you know what? This dude surely, besides, you know, okay, God, you trust him. But I'm telling you, you let me attack his body. Oh, he's not gonna love you. How many of you love yourself? Let me put it this way. How many of you prep for church every day? What does prepping look like to you? For women, you know, it could be getting up. I mean, now this is across the board. It's in my opinion that everybody should get up and take a shower in the morning. Huh? That's prep. You know, you want to smell good. You just don't want to look good. Have you ever seen people look good? And that's not, now there's people that can't afford to take showers. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about folk that can take time to prep, take showers, get yourself ready, make yourself look good, and be ready for church or be ready for work or be ready for school. You know, taking time with yourself, keeping up with yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. I say that to say that Job didn't expect to have all these sores on his body. Considering his stature and status and what he had, I'm pretty sure Job was a well-kept man. Not only just in his heart righteously, but also physically as well. Not only was he an upright man in God's eyes and blameless, but I'm pretty sure before all this happened, people were like, Job is the person you want to aspire your life to be like, huh? You want to look like Job, talk like Job, act like Job, and have what Job has. But what do you do when it's all taken away? What's very powerful about this moment is that Job's body is attacked. He has these loathsome sores. Even then, he takes a pot shirt and scrapes himself as he continues to sit among the ashes. Unexpected things. Wondering, how am I going to get through this? But still knowing that as long as I got God on my side, I'm going to be all right. In the face of unexpected challenges, persistent integrity looks like toughness. Have you ever been there before when you just cried out, I'm not strong enough? I'm not strong enough, God. I'm crying, I'm losing it. I can't keep myself together. God, I just can't take it anymore. But it does look like toughness. I don't know, Deanna, if I said it last week, but I'm going to say it today. Crying is not a sign of weakness. Crying is not a sign of weakness. Grief is not a sign of weakness. In fact, it exposes toughness. Somebody say toughness.
Toughness.
To enter the grieving process, to cry about it, to just solely depend on God and be in your weak moment. You just got to remember what the scripture says, that even in the midst of my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Your weakness is not, your weaknesses shouldn't be displayed or looked upon as you not holding it together, but in fact, you are keeping it together. You're allowing yourself just to let go and give it to the right person. The problem is, some of us, when we're going through, we don't know who to, we forget, really, who to go to. Do y'all really forget about God? Do we really forget about God in the midst of it? Job teaches us that regardless of how hard it may be, you still remember God. In fact, the proof is in the pudding when he had this encounter with his wife. Now, his wife says, "Do you still persist in your integrity?" She flat out said, "Curse God and die." That's what Satan was anticipating. So now the plot thickens. Sometimes it's just not situations that Satan will throw your way to try to get you to curse God. But Satan will send some of the closest people in your life to try to get you out of God's character. Oh, y'all thought y'all was only supposed to be worried about people. And I'm not saying be a worrywart or be paranoid. But sometimes you got to watch out for the closest people as well. Now, here's the thing. And to Job's wife's credit, I'm going to put it like this. Because she's married to Job, right? And we believe that we're one flesh, right? Mm-hmm. Husband and wives come to get one flesh. Whatever is Job's is what? I heard the women. Whatever is Job's is. So whatever Job lost, Job was hurting. Job lost children. Job lost property. Job lost his standing. So she was feeling it too. But what we notice is that God gives us two different types of responses in this text. Now, unfortunately, I don't like the fact that it points out a woman, but the reality is this, that this is what his wife said to him. But let's keep it real. Anybody can say that to anyone on any given day. Have you ever, I don't know what you did, but you might as well just curse God, crawl under a rock, and die somewhere. Oh, y'all never got that before? You never been through something so bad? I almost came to church expecting someone to say, "What did you do so bad, Pastor, that all this stuff keeps on happening to you?" Y'all passed the test because I didn't hear that at all. But sometimes with Job's wife saying that, she's also essentially saying, how much more can you take? Just get it over with, curse God, and just die. Because this is bad. And before I go to my proverbial seat as I'm already sitting down, it is foolish talk when we try to tell people there's no use in continuing to follow God. I think there's a point in this. And what Job responds and he says something and does something that knocked me off of my feet. He says, "Shall we receive good from God and not receive evil?" And in all this, Job did not sin from his lips. Job says something that exposes a toughness that I had never seen before. Job says, is pastor, our leadership, laypersons, congregation, are you always comfortable and always going to be happy with God when everything is all good? Do you not expect God to test you at any given moment? It's not that God wants to do evil towards you, but it's the fact that when God lifts the fence, he lifts the protections that you had, not to hurt you, but to test you and show Satan how tough you and I really are. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're tougher than what you think. God knows how you act when you got the fence around you. But God tells Satan by lifting up the fence, now see how tough my child is. You took the children away. Look how tough he is. You took his property and his status away. Look how tough he is. You didn't put your hands on him and he has sores on his body. Look how tough he is. He did not let any curse come from his lip. Look how tough he is. Come on now, for every time the enemy tried to hurt you and harm you, you did not curse God. Look how tough you are. For every time you were the enemy tried to tempt you and ruin your relationship, you stayed in the fight with God. All I'm trying to tell someone today, that if you telling people you're a child of God, live like a child of God. Keep it 100. Keep it real. Be authentic. Continue to show the world that God is good. We can overcome evil as long as we lean on the Lord. That's all I got today. Will you stand to your feet?